Picture this. You are on base leg. The runway is right there. You can see it. You are low and slow because you got a little close to the airport on downwind, and you started your descent early trying to get squared away. You roll into the turn for final, and you realize you're going to overshoot the center line. So you do what feels completely natural. You push the rudder in, you try to muscle the nose around with your feet. That is the last thing a lot of pilots ever do. I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar. Today we are going to talk about one of the most dangerous moments in all of aviation, and it happens within 500 feet of the runway on nearly every accident report that describes it. We are talking about the base to final stall, the skidding turn, and the stick and rudder discipline that stands between you and that scenario becoming your last flight. Before we get into it, a quick word for the folks who make this show possible, AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the flying journey. First solo, private certificate, instrument, commercial, all of it. I've seen those coins sitting on desks and hanging on walls in cockpits and FBOs all over the country. If you want to mark the milestones that matter, check them out. AviationSoul.com now. Let's walk through this together. The base to final stall and spin is what accident investigators and flight instructors sometimes call the low and slow graveyard. It claims pilots every single year, not students who have never touched an airplane, certificated pilots, sometimes experienced ones, people who have done hundreds of landings, and it keeps happening because the maneuver feels counterintuitive right up until the moment it does not matter anymore. Here is the setup. You are flying a traffic pattern. Let's say you are in a Cessna 172. You're on base leg at about 800 feet above the ground and somewhere around 70 knots. You have flaps out. Everything feels normal. You turn final, and the center line is not where you expected it to be. You're going to overshoot to the right. The runway is drifting left of your nose, and your instinct, the thing your brain screams at you to do, is to use the rudder. Push that left pedal. Yaw the nose toward the runway. What you just did is create a skidding turn. Let me explain what that means from a physics standpoint, because this is where stick and rudder skill is not just about grace and feel. It is about understanding what your control inputs are actually doing to the air moving over the wing. In any bank turn, the outside wing is traveling faster than the inside wing. That speed difference generates more lift on the outside wing, which is part of why you can hold a turn. But it also means the outside wing is flying at a slightly lower angle of attack than the inside wing. The inside wing is slower, generating less lift, flying closer to its critical angle of attack. That asymmetry is always there in a turn. Your job as a pilot is to manage it. Now add rudder in the direction of the turn without the appropriate bank angle to go with it. You are yawing the nose toward the runway, but you are not increasing your bank to match. What happens? The inside wing slows down even more relative to the outside wing. The angle of attack on that inside wing climbs, you're already low and slow. You may already be carrying a higher angle of attack than you realize because you're trying to stretch the glide, trying to make the runway. And suddenly that inside wing reaches its critical angle of attack first. When one wing stalls before the other in a turn, you do not just mush forward like you might in a coordinated stall in the practice area. The airplane rolls hard, toward the stalled wing, toward the inside of the turn, which means toward the ground. And at 500 feet above the ground, in most airplanes, there is not enough altitude to recover. The math does not work in your favor. It never did. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. The inclinometer, that little ball in the curved tube on your instrument panel, is one of the most important safety instruments in the cockpit, and most student pilots treat it like an afterthought. They learn to center the ball during steep turns, and then forget about it until the examiner brings it up during the checkride debrief. That ball tells you something critical every moment you're flying. If the ball is deflected toward the inside of the turn, you are in a skidding turn. You have too much rudder and not enough bank. If the ball is deflected toward the outside of the turn, you are slipping. You have too much bank and not enough rudder. Coordinated flight is when the ball is centered, the lateral and yaw forces are balanced, the wings are doing what they are designed to do. The phrase you probably heard 1,000 times in training is step on the ball. If the ball is to the left, push the left rudder pedal. If the ball is to the right, push the right rudder pedal. Center the ball, center the coordination. Simple, easy to remember. The problem is that in the pattern, especially when you're overloaded with tasks and the runway is not where you expected it, and ATC is giving you a sequence change and there's traffic to spot, you stop looking at the ball. You fly by feel. And feel is what gets pilots killed in this scenario because the skidding turn does not feel wrong. until it is already wrong. So let's talk about the practical skill here, the thing you can actually practice. If you are going to overshoot final, you have two correct options. Option one is to increase your bank angle and add coordinated rudder pressure together to tighten the turn. More bank, matching rudder, ball stays centered. You will tighten the turn radius and the nose will swing toward the center line. Option two, if you're too low or too slow to safely tighten the turn, is to go around. Full power, carb heat off if you have it, establish a positive climb attitude, then configure for the climb. Come back around and give yourself a better setup. What you do not do is use rudder alone to drag the nose toward the runway. That is the trap. That is the skidding turn. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot certificate address this directly. For the power-off stall, the ACS asks the applicant to recognize when a stall is occurring and recover promptly. But equally important is what the ACS says about flying in the traffic pattern itself. The evaluator is watching your coordination throughout the pattern. They are watching whether you're using rudder and aileron together in your turns. They are watching the ball. They are watching whether your approach and landing setup reflects disciplined energy management or a series of corrections that suggest you are chasing the airplane rather than flying it. Here is the scenario I have used with every student pilot I have ever had the privilege of flying with. We go out to the practice area at altitude. Plenty of room, thousands of feet below us, and I have them set up an approach configuration, flaps down to where they would be on final power back, about approach speed for whatever airplane we are in. And then I have them enter a turn and I say, now overshoot it. Imagine that centerline is drifting left of your nose, use your feet to fix it, and they do and I let it develop just a little. Not to the point of an actual departure from controlled flight, but enough that they can feel the buffet starting, feel the airplane getting mushy, feel the inside wing dropping before we recover. And then we talk about what just happened. Every time, without exception, the student is surprised by how fast it happened and how little control authority was left by the time they recognized the problem. Then we practice the correct technique. Overshoot the turn, add bank and coordinated rudder together, center the ball, feel how the airplane responds when it is flying the way it is designed to fly. The difference is remarkable. The airplane feels alive and responsive instead of mushy and confused. Do this at altitude over and over until it becomes a reflex. Now, let me talk about the setup errors that lead to the base to final stall, because it is almost never just the stick and rudder skill that fails in isolation. There is usually a chain, it often starts on downwind. The pilot flies too close to the runway on downwind. Maybe they were trying to stay in close for spacing. Maybe they just eyeballed it wrong. Flying too close on downwind means the base leg has to be shorter. The turn to final comes sooner, and you end up with a tighter angle to the runway that demands more bank on final or creates the overshooting situation in the first place. Then the pilot begins the descent too early or manages energy poorly and arrives at the base to final turn, already lower and slower than they should be. Now the margin for error is tiny before they even roll into the turn. Then they overshoot, and the feet take over, and the chain that started on downwind ends with the airplane departing controlled flight. The fix is upstream. Fly a consistent pattern. Keep your downwind leg at a distance from the runway that gives you a reasonable base leg and a reasonable rollout onto final. In a Cessna 172, most instructors teach you to aim for about a half mile to 1 mile abeam the runway threshold on downwind. Far enough that you have room to maneuver, not so far that you're flying an approach into another zip code. Manage your speed and altitude through the pattern with the same discipline you would use on a cross-country flight plan. Know what altitude and airspeed you want at each checkpoint. Abeam the numbers, turning base, turning final. If any of those numbers are not where they should be, that is your cue to reassess. Sometimes the right answer is to extend your downwind. Sometimes it is to fly a wider base. Sometimes it is to go around before you even get to the base to final turn. The go around is not a failure. Say that to yourself. The go around is a tool. It is a perfectly valid and often correct response to a situation that is not setting up the way it should. The pilot who consistently executes good go-arounds is a safer pilot than the one who always manages to salvage a bad approach. Because someday the bad approach will be too far gone to salvage, and the pilot who is comfortable with the go-around will already have full power in and be climbing away. One more thing before I wrap up. Cross-controlled stalls. You will hear this term in your training. A cross-controlled stall is related to what we have been talking about, but slightly different. In a skidding turn, the rudder and aileron are working in the same direction. You're adding left rudder to yaw left and the airplane is banked left. In a cross-controlled stall, the controls are working against each other. You might have left bank but right rudder input, or vice versa. This often happens when a pilot is on final and tries to correct a lineup error by using aileron in one direction and rudder in the other. The result is similar. The airplane is uncoordinated. The wings are producing unequal lift, and at low altitude and low airspeed, the departure from controlled flight can be violent and unrecoverable. Practice recovering from cross-controlled stalls at altitude too. Have your instructor demonstrate them. Understand what they feel like before you accidentally create one at 200 feet on final. The Airman Certification Standards reference the turning stall during the stalls task for the private pilot practical test. The examiner will ask you to demonstrate a turning stall, often called an approach to landing stall, at altitude. Pay attention to that task. It exists specifically because the base to final environment is the place where stalls kill pilots in the real world. The check ride is trying to prepare you for something that actually happens. This stuff is worth practicing your whole flying career, not just until you get the certificate. Every few months, go out with an instructor if you can, or at least go out to the practice area in coordinated configuration at altitude and remind yourself what the ball tells you and what the airplane feels like when you listen to it. The stick and rudder fundamentals are not beginner material. They are the foundation everything else is built on. IFR currency will not save you from a skidding turn in the pattern. A glass cockpit will not either. This is you and the airplane and three fundamental control inputs and the discipline to use them correctly when it matters most. My sources for today are the Airplane Flying Handbook published by the Federal Aviation Administration and the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, both available at FAA.gov. Good material, worth reading more than once. You can find us at RadioHangar.com. Stay coordinated out there. I'll see you next time.